Sunday, February 8th, Sexagesima Sunday. The Epistle from the Second Letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 19 through 33, and chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Brethren, you gladly suffer the foolish, whereas yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man be lifted up, if a man strike you on the face. I speak according to dishonor, as if we had been weak in the past. Wherein, if any man dare, I speak foolishly, I dare also. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are the seed of Abraham, so am I. They are the ministers of Christ, I speak as one less wise. I am more, in many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times did I receive 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I was in the depth of the sea. In journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren. In labor and painfulness, in much watching, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, my daily instance, the solicitude for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is scandalized and I am not on fire? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor of the nation under Aretas, the king, guarded the city of the Damascenes to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and so escaped his hands. If I must glory, it is not expedient indeed, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not, God knoweth, that he was caught up into paradise, and heard secret words which it is not granted to man to utter. For such a one I will glory, but for myself I will glory nothing but in my infirmities. For though I should have a mind to glory, I shall not be foolish, for I will say the truth. But I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, or anything he heareth from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should exalt me, there was given me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan, to buffet me. For which thing, thrice I besought the Lord that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Haydock Commentary. St. Paul is saying, I trust that you will permit me to speak in my own praise, since as wise as you are, you have permitted others who have not greater wisdom than myself. And if it be folly to praise oneself, as you have pardoned them, I trust you will also pardon me. St. Paul still continues to speak ironically that they will permit him to praise himself in his own justification, since they have permitted these false teachers to reduce them to bondage under the law, to devour their substance, and to behave haughtily to them. They are ministers of Christ, I am more, to wit, an apostle chosen and sent by Jesus Christ, appointed in a special manner to be the apostle of the Gentiles, your apostle. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. This was before the shipwreck in his voyage to Rome, by which we may take notice that St. Luke in the Acts omits a great many things relating to St. Paul, as also when he adds, a night and a day I was in the depth of the sea. St. Paul could have avoided that disgrace as a Roman. He refused to claim his privilege, that he might have an opportunity of converting the guard of the prison. St. Paul, in the whole of this discourse, shows the repugnance he had of speaking in his own praise, and that if he did it, it was only through constraint and for the advantage of the Corinthians, as also to defend himself from his calumniators. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, etc. He speaks of himself, as it were, of a third person. If St. Paul himself knew not whether in the body or out of the body, how can we pretend to decide whether his soul was for some moment separated from his body, or in what manner he saw God? It appears that this took place about the period when the Holy Ghost commanded that he should be separated for the work whereunto he was called. See Acts 13:2. St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas are of opinion that this third heaven and paradise are the same place, and designate the abode of the blessed. In order to understand the language of the Apostle, we must observe that the Hebrews distinguished three different heavens. The first comprised the air, the clouds, etc., as far as the fixed stars. The second included all the fixed stars. And the third was the abode of the angels, in which God himself showed his infinite glory. The first is called in Scripture simply the heavens, the second is called the firmament, and the third is called the heaven of heavens. I received a sting of my flesh, an angel or messenger of Satan, to buffet me. The Latin word signifies anything that pricks or stings, the Greek word a sharp stick or pale. He speaks by a metaphor, as also when he says, to buffet me, that is, by causing great trouble or pain. Some understand by it a violent headache or pain, or distemper in the body. St. John Chrysostom, by the sting and the angel of Satan, understands that opposition which St. Paul met with from his enemies and those of the gospel. Others understand troublesome temptations of the flesh, immodest thoughts and representations suggested by the devil and permitted by Almighty God for his greater good. He besought the Lord many times to be freed from it, but received only this answer from God, that his grace was sufficient to preserve him from consenting to sin, and that power and strength in virtue should increase and be perfected in weakness and by temptations when they are resisted. The power of God is more evident in supporting man under the greatest trials than in freeing him from the attacks. The strength and power of God more perfectly shines forth in our weakness and infirmity, as the more weak we are of ourselves, the more illustrious is his grace in supporting us and giving us the victory under all trials and conflicts. The more I suffer for Christ, the more I perceive the effects of his all-powerful grace, which sustains, enlightens, and strengthens me. The Gospel from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. At that time, when a very great multitude was gathered together and hastened out of the cities unto Jesus, he spoke by a similitude. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And other some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. And other some fell upon good ground, and being sprung up yielded fruit 100-fold. Saying these things, he cried out, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. To whom he said, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing may not understand. Now the parable is this, The seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear. Then the devil cometh and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. Now they upon the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell away among thorns are they who have heard, and going their way, are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and yield no fruit. But on the good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Haydock Commentary. In this parable, we see the different success of the word of God from the different dispositions of the hearers. And as we find that only 1/4 part of the seed produced fruit, we may thence infer how many and great are the obstacles in the way of salvation. The difference of the fruits born is the difference of merits here and of the rewards hereafter, according to the diversity of states. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. By these words we are exhorted to examine the meaning of the parables. So says St. Jerome. We are also taught that not all, but only such as have had the sense of the Scriptures open to their understanding from above, can properly understand them. The apostles themselves were in ignorance till Jesus Christ gave them the true meaning. It is God who speaks in the Scripture, and it is God who gives us to understand what is therein delivered. His truths he conceals from the proud, while he reveals them to the little and humble. How can any persons pretend that the most mysterious, as well as the most sacred book in the world, is open to every understanding? St. Paul tells the Jews that although the Scriptures were read to them every Sabbath, their very rulers did not understand them. And St. Peter assures us that there are many passages hard to be understood. All comes from God, It is He who opens our ears to hear, our heart to believe, and our mind to understand. Hagar was near a well, and yet she wept because she had no water to give her son to drink. God opened her eyes, and she saw the well that was close to her. Thus, says Origen, we may read the scriptures and find no nourishment for the soul unless God opens our mind to see therein on what we are to nourish it. The mysteries of the kingdom are not disclosed to the scribes and Pharisees, who were unwilling to believe in him, but to those who adhered closely to Christ and believed in him. Let us therefore run in the company with the apostles to Jesus Christ, that he may disclose to us the mysteries of his gospel. Can we suppose for a single moment that the mere putting of a Bible into every man's hand will convert the world? The command given to the apostles and their successors in the ministry is, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. There is not a single word to them about writing. During 2,500 years from Adam to Moses, were the patriarchal families and other servants of God in a state of ignorance concerning either the positive instructions of the Almighty respecting the Sabbath, the rites of sacrifice, or their moral duties? Yet there was no scripture during all that period. For more than 400 years after Jesus Christ, the canon of scripture, as now generally received, remained unsettled. Had the apostles and evangelists done nothing more than publish their writings and disseminate them to every pagan country, not a single nation, not a single pagan, would have abandoned their gods to believe in a crucified Jesus.